Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Without further ado, let's head out to the fan hotline. Covers the team for Cleveland.com. Watching some joint practices in Philly and getting us all the answers. It's Dan Lobby, and he joins us now. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Jake? In good classic Philly fashion, I walked outside right as a siren was driving by. So there we go.
The only possible way, Dan, I got to ask you, can you touch your toes?
What's that?
Can you touch your toes? Straight legged, if you reach down, can you touch the top of your toes?
Oh, I think I can. You know what? I'm going to try it right now. I'm standing outside my hotel. I'm going to look like a crazy person. I can't. I came up short.
Came up short. All the people in the room were surprised. Might be a fat man, but I can touch my toes. They're interested. But did you ever do the sit and reach test when you were in school? They brought out the blue box and you had to reach and see how far you could press like the little dial?
I do. I remember something like that. Yeah.
Oh, Pat McAfee covered it today. It's going away. They're not doing it anymore, and they're testing kids' fitness. Oh. That one's off the board.
All right, well, there we go. Well, that's good for me, because I don't know if I could even do that when I was a kid. So
yeah, I think we can all agree that one wasn't really a test that I think any of us felt like we needed to be doing. They didn't really feel like a one that was testing any of our athletic abilities.
that and the rope climb. I was never great at the rope climb.
Yeah, that one feels like a lot more technique than upper body strength sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dan, you're out in Philly. You got to watch joint practices today. I heard a lot of people go through and say that they felt like the Browns were competitive in these practices, might have even won them. Did you come away with the same assessment from today?
You know, I thought the defense in particular was competitive. I thought the defensive front, especially Mason Graham, Miles Garrett, that whole group, I thought they were really good. And I thought they made life difficult on Jalen Hurts and that Eagles offense. But I'll say on the other side, I thought the Eagles defense was really good and did a good job shutting down the Browns, making life difficult on the Browns offensively. So I don't think I would say that the Browns won this practice. I mean, if I had to pick a winner, I would say that the Eagles won it. But I was really impressed with how that Browns defense held up, especially, you know, look, their secondary still leaves a little bit to be desired, but I thought that front was really good against that Eagles O-line.
How much of these can we use? We know how much stock the Browns put into the joint practices and how they talk about them. How much of it can we use as a litmus test on how they're performing against the Eagles to how that's going to translate somewhat into the season?
You know, you don't want to put too much stock into it, but I do remember a few years ago when the Eagles came to Cleveland, and you could just tell that the Browns got out physical, and that was the year that the Eagles went to the Super Bowl for the first time, and the Browns, that was the year when they weren't very good. That was the year before they went to the playoffs in 2023. So that year in 23, when Jim Schwartz came in, the tune kind of changed, and they came to Philadelphia for joint practices that year. And they did kind of match that physicality, and they kind of took it to the Eagles a little bit, and they ended up having a nice year. So I think you can tell some things from these practices. I don't know that it always translates to, are they going to win a bunch of games? Are they going to make the playoffs? Things like that. But I think you can certainly tell some things and find some things that are sustainable, especially when it comes to just competitiveness, physicality, all of that stuff. Can they match a team like the Eagles that are just kind of a funky, big, tough team to play?
I have to ask you, Dan, can I get some bubble wrap for these quarterbacks? Can I get something? They're not even being touched, and I got three quarterback injuries for non-contact injuries.
Yeah, look, I was saying this to somebody. I didn't know how this four quarterback competition was going to look, but I felt like it would just be this beautiful chaos for a month, if nothing else. And what it's just turned into is this battle of attrition and probably Joe Flacco winning the starting job when all is said and done, because he's the last man standing. But it's been disappointing that we haven't gotten a good look at all four of these guys with any sort of consistency. I mean, even Shador Sanders, let's say today he would have only gotten second and third team reps. He still would have been able to start on Saturday, or at least play a lot on Saturday, and that would have been an opportunity for him to build off what he did against Carolina. And now we might not even get to do that. So it's just really frustrating that this hasn't actually been a true competition. It's just sort of been who's going to be healthiest when we get to the finish line.
So take me through a little bit of what we saw today with the oblique injury with Shador. How early on did people realize that something was happening? And what was sort of the buzz going around is we saw Shador not out there for 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s?
I think the first time we noticed was when Tyler Huntley was taking team reps. And you start to think to yourself, wait a second, why would Tyler Huntley be taking team reps right now? You know, I suppose maybe they'd want to get him some at some point, but he's probably not going to make the roster if these four quarterbacks are healthy, which right now is a big if. And he probably isn't going to be going ahead of Shador Sanders. So that's when you start to look around and kind of try to figure out what's happening with Shador that's keeping him on the sideline. So it was really when they went into those first 7-on-7 and first team periods that it was kind of like, wait a second, Tyler Huntley's taking team reps and Shador hasn't done any yet. Something weird is happening.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with us here on the Fan Hotline. So take me through a little bit of more of the impact then that this injury sort of causes. How much does this stop Shador from, if it was ever possible, being able to move himself up to ahead of Dylan Gabriel at the very least in this quarterback battle?
Well, it obviously hurts him in that regard, but I think where it hurts him the most is, you know, they're calling this day today and they're saying it's unlikely he's going to play Saturday. These oblique injuries can be tough. They can linger. Hopefully he'll be back at it next week and be able to be full go quickly. But we've reached a point here where, you know, next week they're going to be getting ready for that dress rehearsal game. And Kevin Stefanski is going to treat that a little bit like a game week in a lot of ways. So there's not going to be quite as many reps there. Then they go into that week of cutdown week, which is a weird practice week, some shorter practices. They're required to give everybody Labor Day weekend off. And then when they come back from that, it's a game week. And once you get into the regular season and into game weeks, there just aren't reps unless you're the starter. Maybe if you're the backup, you can get some reps. But if you're the starter, you're getting most of them. If you're the backup, you might get a few. If you're the third and fourth stringer, you're not getting many reps in practice. So unfortunately for Shador, he's reached a point where he might kind of be out of this competition if he can't get back on the field quickly, even to be the backup. But then he's also going to see a lot of his reps start to dry up as well.
Would you be surprised at this point if Kenny Pickett gets any sort of play time coming up on Saturday?
I would be, just because they've been so careful with this. I think the only thing that would change that is if we showed up tomorrow and all of a sudden he's doing 11-on-11, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. So I think they've been really careful with Kenny Pickett. They don't want to rush him back. Kenny was really honest with us a couple weeks ago when he talked about it when he first came back, that this was going to take a little while. It sounds like it was a pretty bad hamstring injury. So I don't know that he's just going to be ready to show up and be Kenny Pickett. When I say that, I really mean his mobility, because that's what they really liked about him. So I think they're going to slow this down, and I would be shocked if he plays Saturday night.
So if Kenny's not going to be available, Shador's not going to be available, who do you think gets the start coming up against the Eagles, and what do you think the split of play time looks from the quarterbacks that are going to be available?
So I would guess Dylan Gabriel, and I thought that there was a pretty good chance, even if Shador was healthy, that Dylan Gabriel would start this game. I mean, he's been doing 11-on-11, even with the hamstring injury. He's been doing a lot of team drills, and today he was pretty much full go, it looked like. So I would imagine he's going to start this game, and again, he might have started it anyway. How long he plays might depend on how careful they want to be. Do they give him a half and then sit him down? Maybe they don't want to have him sit down at halftime and then come back cold in the third quarter with that hamstring. But I would imagine he would get a good chunk of playing time like Shador did last week. And then you just hand it over to Tyler Huntley and let him run around and hope that clock moves quickly.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan, if I'm looking at it, I mean, maybe you'll disagree with this, but did you feel that Kevin Stefanski set Shador up in the best possible way to be successful back on Friday when they played the Panthers?
I thought he did. I mean, I thought he gave him, you know, good opportunity. You know, he let him throw the football, put him in positions where he could make some easy throws. You know, and obviously he made some dynamic throws too. I always thought it was a little bit. I didn't like the idea of, are they setting him up to fail? Are they sabotaging his opportunity? Anything like that. I thought he put him in a pretty good position. Now, obviously, he wasn't out there with the starters, but he was still out there with guys that he was used to. You know, Gage Larvadan is a guy that he's been thrown to all, you know, going back to the spring. Luke Floria, obviously no longer with the team. He got hurt in that game, but he's a guy that Shador has been throwing to all spring. So he was working with a lot of people that he was familiar with, and while they weren't the starters, and while, you know, maybe that created a little more pressure because it wasn't the starting O-line or whatever, he was with people that he was very familiar with. So I think he was in a good place to succeed, and I think it's a credit to him that he took advantage of it.
So if we feel that way about Shador, I imagine you'd think that Kevin probably does the exact same thing for Dylan to set him up to succeed. Hey, what do you think that looks like contrary to Shador? What is Dylan Gabriel being set up to succeed look like from an offensive standpoint?
Well, if we go off what Kevin has done before, and he's usually done his joint practices in this week of the preseason, he usually doesn't play any of his starters when we go into this preseason game. So I remember a few years ago they did the joint practice with the Giants. It might have been Kevin's first or second year here. And the only starter that played was some cornerback that got into a fight at the end of practice. And so Kevin's punishment was, I'm going to make you play in this preseason game. So I would be surprised after he puts these guys through what had been physical. I mean, it was hot today. It's going to be hot again tomorrow. I would be surprised if he has any starters at all out there. If he does, it's going to be very few. So I think Dylan Gabriel is going to be out there with a lot of second teamers, a lot of third teamers. But again, like Shador, he has put in a lot of work with those guys, so I think he'll be okay.
Again, Dan Lobby with this here on the hotline. What are your expectations for Dylan Gabriel then? What do you look at to say, hey, Dylan either performed well in this game or showed some things that he needed to work on?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just always efficiency. Are you efficient with the football? Are you completing the easy passes that are there in front of you? Obviously, for Dylan Gabriel, he's got a situation where Shador Sanders looked really great last week, and people are going to be making that direct comparison. So, you know, he's got to make sure that he's kind of not looking at it like that. I think he's got a good mindset to understand that, you know, just take what's there. Just do what's in front of you. You know, make the easy stuff easy. Don't make the easy stuff hard. And just move the offense. And the most important thing right now for Kevin Stefanski is don't turn the football over. So I think those are the big things for Dylan Gabriel.
Dan, obviously we've covered a lot on the quarterbacks. Looking away from that position group right now, who or what group are you most excited to watch coming up on Saturday?
You know, I think this, and again, this kind of is, when you look at who's going to play and who's not, it makes it tough. But I think that defensive line, you know, we talked about them off the top, how good they looked. And you've got some guys in that second unit who are fighting for jobs and who are looking for opportunities to get into Jim Schwartz's rotation. He loves to do line changes, basically. He'll change that whole line in the middle of a drive. So if you make this roster, there's a really good chance you're going to play on Sunday. So, you know, whether we're talking about Isaiah McGuire or, you know, even, you know, I doubt like a Shelby Harris would play in the middle, but some of these young guys in the middle, Joe Tryon Choyinka's fighting for a job. There's a lot of guys on that line who are fighting for opportunities and fighting for jobs. And so I think that's really a spot to look, because if we're watching a bunch of second and third stringers, there's some guys there who are fighting and who could make an impact if they make the roster.
What did you think of Carson Schlesinger back on Friday? I mean, he played 13 snaps, recorded 6 total tackles. It felt like the kid was everywhere.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when he gets downhill fast. And we saw it today, too. He made some plays where he got into the backfield. He had a blitz with Myles Garrett where I don't know who would have gotten that sack in live action, but he forced Jalen Hurts out of the pocket. Myles Garrett kind of chased and cleaned it up. I thought that was great to see. You see how aggressive he is, and when you go back and watch kind of how he played at UCLA, when he's clean, when he doesn't get a body on him, a big body on him, he can really play downhill. And there's a little bit, and I say this carefully because this guy is, I think, at a different level, but there is a little bit of JOK in him when he starts to play downhill a little bit and he starts to, you know, fit in the run game and he gets after the quarterback. And by the way, we've seen him cover pretty well in training camp too. So that pick is looking really good right now. We'll see what happens when he gets to live action, but it seems like they've found a guy that can step into that middle linebacker spot and perform.
Dan, it's certainly a little bit like less sexy of a question, but we see Luke Florio go down with a hamstring injury, and then the Browns waive him from training camp. He's no longer part of the roster following the injury, which apparently was serious enough to go down that route. What does this wide receiver room look like, from guys being able to compete to actually be on the field on Sundays when the season rolls around, to how does that injury sort of impact the guys that are going to make this roster versus fighting for a practice squad or even to be there?
You know, I don't know if it impacts the roster, because I don't know if he was actually going to make the roster or not. Now, he was pushing, and I think he was in the running, but I really do think that he was behind a guy like Gage Larvedan, who's been really good going back to the spring. And I don't even know if he's going to actually make the 53-man roster. You go through it and you figure out, you know, what do they do with Deontay Johnson, who I think has been pretty good in camp. And if they want to keep him around, that takes a spot, right? Jamari Thrash, I think, is going to make this roster. I think you can write that one in pen. So I think they have some guys. They probably have like 5 guys you can look at and say they're going to make it. So then it comes down to, are you going to keep a 6th? Do you want to get some guys on the practice squad? And I think the important thing to remember is this front office, and Andrew Berry and Glenn Cook have said this, they don't just view this as a 53-man roster. They do view it as a 69-man roster with the 53 and then the 16 practice squatters. You can do those elevations during the season. So they do value those practice squad spots. So if they really like a guy like a Gage Larvedan, or if Luke Florio is going to be healthy and they can bring him back on the practice squad, that's still valuable. And they'll find playing time for those guys and ways to elevate those guys if they need them.
Dan, I'll get you out of here on this one. I think we look around, and obviously I think fans at this point are expecting to probably not have Quinshon Judkins by week one. I think that's a safe assumption at this point. How has the run game looked in his absence in the early parts that we've been able to see? Obviously not a ton on Friday, but more through training camp and these joint practices.
You know, it's been really up and down. And obviously so much of it starts with the offensive line. So you hope that group is going to be kind of the group they've been in the past. We'll see. I think they took a little bit of a step back last year, but I think they should still be pretty good. But, you know, the reality is a guy like Dylan Sampson was a really good fit for his role. But if he's going to be your featured back, I think that changes things. Jerome Ford, right? Another guy who's good in a role, but I don't think you want Jerome Ford to necessarily be your workhorse back. And then Pierre Strong is sort of more of a special teams type guy. So I think that position is a little bit shaky without Quinshon Judkins. They drafted him with big expectations to be their featured back and really carry the load. And if he's not going to be here for a while, that changes the outlook of that room a lot. And I'm a little nervous about, you know, how does a guy like Dylan Sampson, who is just not very big, how does he hold up over 17 games if he's got to carry the ball a bunch?
Dan, as always, we appreciate you setting aside the time. Enjoy the rest of the time in Philly. And I look forward to talking to you next week following what will be more than likely a debut for Dylan Gabriel and how he looked.
All right, I'm setting a goal. I'm going to touch my toes by the end of the season.
That's what I like to hear. Working on the flexibility, the things that matter, Dan. That's what we like to hear.
Exactly. All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate you. Dan Lavi, Cleveland.com, with us there on the Fan Hotline. Always really good stuff out of Dan. We'll react to what he had to say, plus Browns quarterback rankings, and can you use a joint practice as a litmus test?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.